Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Hallelujah. I want you to go with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Psalms, chapter 137. The book of Psalms, chapter 137. I want to preach to you on the subject this morning, the day the music died. The day the music died. Music has a lot to do with our emotions, has a lot to do with who we are, what we do. Music is a part of our everyday life. Music is a billions of dollar industry in this world. You know, but I want you to know that music was not the devil's thought. It was God's. God is the one that created it. Amen. But there are iconic riffs and iconic songs that when you just hear the beginning of it, you automatically know some of those songs. Now, I had somebody ask me today, Pastor, because I was talking about, I get creative about 7:30 in the morning, just about an hour before service. So I was looking at some music that possibly, that many people would know. Now, there aren't too many Christian songs that at the beginning everybody would know. But usually now when the lyric starts, of course people would know. I mean, you know, you'd have to be in a rock somewhere. You'd have to be in a rock, under a rock somewhere, not to know, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now and you know, you hear music like that and it just takes you back. My youngest daughter, and I don't know if I'll say it in the 11 o'clock service, she'll be in it. But she says, you know, Dad, she says, I know that you and the older people, I grounded her for that. She said, I know that you and the older people love that song, but it just doesn't do anything for me. I said, until you've had to know without a shadow of a doubt that you've needed the grace, then it really won't do anything for you. But music has, it just has an ability to move us. Now, I've asked Jared, who is an old rocker, to just give me a few licks on a couple of songs, and I don't know if I'm gonna know all of them or not. We'll see. But just whatever you got there, show me. How many knows that song? My God, my worship leader's over there doing the dance. Amen. Old rockers. Because see, here's the thing. Everybody in here has a BC. Everybody in here has a before Christ. What's the, how many more you got? Give me another one. Satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. I did a message on that before. All right. Can you do that, sweetheart? Sweetheart. See, everybody knows it, right? Now listen, that song right there, now everybody knows that Sweet Home Alabama, right? If you don't know that, then you're probably not even alive. You're probably the biggest nerd on the planet if you don't know that song. But that song is best played going down the highway at about 70 in your motorcycle. That's when it's the best play. I'm just going to be saying. That's all I'm going to say about that. But anyway, or when you're taking out. You know, that's what I'm going to say about that. But so these music, everybody knows it. And how many, when you hear songs like that, you know, and I'm sorry, teenagers, I don't know any of the songs that y'all do, you know. How about Shake, 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 that little old song. I hate that little stupid song. Shake it up. Shake it, shake, shake. Shake it off. Yeah. See, you know it. I hate that song. I've heard it so much, I'm so sick of it. But see, that music is good music. That's real music. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, we all have music. You know that you're getting old when you get in the elevator and the music they're playing is the songs of your jam. You know what I'm talking about? You're like, yeah, that's my jam. And this is the elevator music. You're like, yeah. You know you're getting old. But here's the deal. That music has the ability to take us back, don't it? All of a sudden, you see, I looked over there and Sherry and Dennis, that music come on, went right back. They were 19. Like 40, 50 years ago. We started to play a song that Roger would recognize, but nobody's old enough to remember any songs. You know I love you. All right, I'm through picking on everybody for right now. But now, in light of that, because music is a part of who we are, right? I mean, you know, we Free Bird, we could just go on, and you start naming your songs. We could be here all day. You know, what's one of your songs, Pastor Cash? No, just kidding. Bad pastor. Hey, it's good music. Anyway, let's go. All right. But let's, now you're saying, we're in church? Yeah, we are. All right. Now let me read you some scripture. Let's get into this now. The day the music died. Because we've established that everybody's a part of music. Music is a part of our life. No matter who you are. All right. Here's what it said in Psalms chapter 137, verse number 1. Thank you, guys. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, verse 2, we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. I want you to underline that. We hung our harps on the willow in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive, now think about this. For there those who carried us away captive ask of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How? And then here's verse 4. And boy, this is where so many people are at. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How shall we sing the praises of God when we're in a foreign land? Now, there is, in my opinion, one of the saddest tales in the Bible is when God's people say that I have no more song. It's one of the saddest times of the Bible when the people of God had lost their song. And I know so many Christians who have lost their song. They've lost their joy. They've lost their praise. And music, though, was not just something the Jewish did. Music was a part of who they are. Now, if you go to any, you know, Jewish music is very lively music and upbeat music. The Hebrew style of worship is not apathetic. It's not laid back. It's not boring. It's in your face. It's energetic and full of life. It's really kind of high octane. You know, that's why, Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that other church, you know, that we've got the monopoly. Just my personality. I mean, I don't want to go to, I can't function. If I go to a church that just has organ music. I gotta have a little, you know, I'm too much rock and roll or something. But I just can't function. I need a little bit of, you know, boot scooting boogie or something, man. I gotta have a little something to worship the Lord like that. Because that's the way I am in my regular everyday life, right? So, But the Hebrews, that was a part of their lifestyle, was music was a part of it. Now God clearly approves of their worship style, and because He shares it. What? That's right. You know, people tell me a lot of times, because especially the way our church is and the way I am, people will go, you know, Pastor, all that ain't necessary. Well, let me help you. Taking a bath ain't necessary. But it sure feels good. And other people around you surely enjoy it when you do. Amen. We all like clean people, don't we? Hallelujah. We know that according to the Bible that God sings, that God shouts, God dances, spins, He leads. God is not laid back. God is not apathetic. He's not a boring personality. He's high energy and He's a high octane and full of life. That's our God. I get so aggravated when people portray God as something boring and something with no life in it. Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And so I refuse to let people who don't know Jesus to have a better time in life than I do, because my Savior died so that I might enjoy my life. All right? So here, let me just give you some Bible here. Just write these down. Zephaniah 3:17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. So God will rejoice over you with joyful songs. How about Isaiah 62:5? For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God rejoices over you. So my God rejoices over me. Now, so it brings us to our first point. What is rejoice? What is rejoice? Rejoice means to experience happiness to a high degree, to animate, to experience happiness to a high degree, to animate. Let me tell you that God wants you to be happy. He wants you to rejoice. Now you've heard it said that that the angels rejoice when one gets saved. Alright? But that's not exactly what Jesus said. Now I'm gonna read it to you in a minute. Let me give you this. Jeremiah 32:41. Says, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and will faithfully plant them in this land, and with all my heart and with all my soul. This is the Lord talking. Now, Jesus said is that there is great rejoicing in the presence of angels over someone who gets saved. Luke 10:15. So He says that Jesus said, see, many people go, well, the angels rejoice, but Jesus said there is great rejoicing in the presence of angels. I want you to get that. There is great rejoicing in the presence of angels. So who is getting happy then? If the angels aren't happy, they're just in the presence of angels, then who's happy? I'll tell you who's happy. God is. God is elated when you and I come to know Him in the fullness and the pardon of our sin. He is elated. It is great rejoicing in the presence of angels. God rejoices when one person gets saved. Hallelujah. This is an amazing picture. God celebrates the people, and the people celebrate God. Come on, somebody. God sings to the people, and the people sing to God. God claps His hand, and the people clap their hands. God leaps and spins, and the people leap and spin. I'm just amazed, man. I mean, let me ask you something. How many's ever been to a concert outside of church? All right. What's crazy to me is, you know, and I'm not picking on them, because I'm not picking on y'all, but y'all are safe to pick on, so I will just a little. But as soon as that song come on, dun, 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 dun. Oh, Sherry went, dun, 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 right? And as soon as you start playing, somebody going, hey, you know, because we're moved to music. However, but we come to church. I cannot believe that they are doing all that in church. I mean, if you've ever been to a concert, I'm amazed, Randy, that they call us weird. Just because we clap and dance and shout and jump and yeah, then they call us. You ever been to a concert? Yeah, woo! You know, you don't have a lighter, so you put your phone up. But they call us crazy. I mean, listen, it gets crazy at concerts, but to God be the glory, and it better not happen. I ain't ever seen a brassiere just thrown up on stage at a church. Am I safe, Priscilla? All right. She's my judge this morning, because Sherry's not here. She'll be in the 11 o'clock service. She said, don't you say that. But that's truth, right? I mean, if you do, there's a bunch of ladies going to pray for you. That's what they're going to gather around you and show you what Pentecostal's all about. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. But they call us crazy. But yet we come to the house of God and we want to sit like it ain't good. No people celebrated their God like the Jewish people celebrated their God. Other nations, now think about this, other nations kept angry gods at bay by appeasing them. They sacrificed children. Look at your Bible. Look at your history. Ain't got to be a Bible. Look at history. They would sacrifice children. They would sacrifice their wives. Men, you can't change religion. Lord, I got a wife I'll sacrifice. You know, that kind of reminds me of the old boy that they robbed a bank up in Tallahassee. And somehow their mask came off and one guy went over to one guy. He said, did you see my face? And the guy goes, well, of course I did. He shot him. Boom. Went to the next guy. He said, did you see my face? He said, well, man, I can't lie. Yeah, I did. Pow! Shot him. Went to the next guy. Did you see my face? He said, no, sir, but my wife I know did. I won't use that one either in the next service. My wife will be there. No, I got a great wife. See, the Jewish people were unlike any other people. Because while other people were sacrificing babies and children and wives and sons and daughters to appease their God, the thing that appeased our God and the thing that appeased their God was their worship. And so they worshiped lively. And so here they are, their style of worship was so unique that when the Babylonians captured them and was taking them captive, here's what they said to them. They said, sing us a song of Zion. Because they knew about their song. They knew about their worship. They knew about their music. And so they said, sing us a song in Zion. And then the saddest verse, I believe, and they says, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? See, they couldn't sing because they had hung their harps up on the willow tree. And the day they hung their harps in the trees is the day the music died for them. Now, what day is that for you? What did you do with your song? What did you do with your praise? Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. Well, let me ask you this. Point number two is this. Who is today in a strange land? Who is in a strange land today? I can tell you some folks that I know who are in a strange land. I can tell you Nancy is. I can tell you some of their family is, because today they're not with Roger. I can tell you they're in a strange land. I know what that feels like after losing two brothers and a father-in-law and my mother. I know what that feels like, and I know that that is a strange land. A strange land is a place where you've never been before. A strange land is somewhere where you haven't been. And as a pastor, and I've been doing this a long time now, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I would be willing to bet you that none of us have been captured by a band of armed thugs and took into a foreign land where they spoke strange language in a strange land. But we have all had strange times and been in strange places in our lives. A place where you've never been before. A place where you didn't know what to do. You know, I know what it is to be a pastor and always kind of know what to do. And I'm not being a know-it-all, but I remember as our church was growing, I just kind of knew what to do. But then we got to a place I had no clue what to do. Matter of fact, there are still days I have no clue what to do. And I'm like, God, I'm supposed to be the leader. Which way they go? I don't know. Because I'm in a strange land. I've never been to this place. And being pastored as long as I have, that there are plenty of people, Bill, that I've go to and go, what's going on in your life? Maybe they were connected to God and connected to church, but they got out of church and they're disconnected. And they say things like, you don't understand, Pastor. I'm just in a strange time in my life. Or they go, you don't understand, Pastor. I'm just at a strange place in my life. Well, that strange place wants to steal your song. That strange place wants to kill your song. That strange place. I've come by today to encourage you to hold on to your song regardless of how strange it is where you are and the strange time that you're in. Hold on to your song because it's that song that's going to keep you in the midnight hour. It's that song that's going to keep you when you feel captive. It's that song that's going to continue to help you through the situation that you're going through. Keep your song. It's a sad reality that people of God either have forgotten or were never taught the true power of their own song. Some of us don't know the power of our own song. Well, what do I got to worship the Lord over? Well, you can find something. You can find something. You can find something. Sometimes you have to look hard. Why? Because you can't see the forest because of the trees. You're just in the midst of it. And sometimes, you know, let me just tell you something. Let me read a text to you. I won't tell you who it's from. I won't tell you who it's from because they're very private, but they've been going through a sickness now for over a year and a half that I know. I got this text the other day. Now I want you to know that this woman has been sick once again for a year. I'm not talking about she got a little tummy ache. I'm not talking about, well, she feels bad. I'm not talking about she's got diarrhea. No. She would thank God for just for diarrhea. No. She has cancer and she has it pretty bad. But let me just read the text that I got from her the other day. She says, I have to take a minute and share what happened to me about 2:30 this morning. Not for pats on the back, but just for true testimony by my God. She said, I have been a patient out here. She's somewhere else now. I've been a patient out here for 7 weeks, not to mention suffering all summer long with blisters and lesions preventing me from praying full blown in the spirit because of my tooth snagging on the back of a blister and lesion bump thingy resulting in pain or making the area bleed. Well, I was praising and praying. I was praising and praying with all of this going on. Now, I know most Christians, well, God done forgot about me. Year and a half. I'm not talking about a couple of days. You know, how many's ever been sick for like a day or two? And you're like, oh, God, just take me home. I mean, we all have, right? You're like, oh, my God, I can't take this. Lord, just kill me. But here this woman going through this the whole time. But let me tell you, she went on to go say this. Well, I was praising and praying to the Lord around 2-ish a.m. When the spirit started gently flowing, unable to stop, there was no pain. There was no blood. I was praying over the past, the tumor growth that is still present. And this time, without my tooth snagging and no pain, no blood, it didn't stop till the Spirit stopped. I knew He never left me. It just felt lonely and blocked not to be able to pray in that special, intimate way. Only comfort is knowing how He loves me and knows that He knows my heart. When this happened, I was humbly blessed. I just had to share it with somebody of how great our God is. What I'm saying is she never left. She has never lost her song. The music hadn't died in her. And my Lord, we can praise Him when we've got good, when we feel good. But how about when everything, when all the hell is coming against you? Can you praise Him? Can you praise Him when you've lost someone that you've loved? Can you praise Him when you've lost the job? Can you praise Him? That's what the devil wants you to do, is to quit, to lose your song. But the Bible says that He inhabits the praises of His people. That's what the Word of God says. See, if we fully appreciate the power of music in the kingdom of God, we would never ever be late for a worship service. Well, they're not singing my song. No, but they're singing a song. It's important for you maybe not to sing your song, the one that you like all the time, but it's important to sing a song. You ever been going through a hard time and a song comes on? All right, maybe go, well, not really. All right, let me go a little bit further. Let me go back to where you live. Have you ever been going through a breakup? Torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool. Loving both of you is breaking all the rules. I mean, what you do? Because it moves you. It moves you where you are. That's why it's so important to never, ever lose your song. One theologian was sharing one day and spoke about how historically the church believed that God didn't, I had to read it a couple of times, that God didn't speak the worlds into existence. I went, wait a minute now. But he went on to say this. He taught that God sang the worlds into existence. I don't know, I wasn't there. But there's some support for it. You know, the Job 38:7 says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted to joy, where were you? Let me paraphrase. Job was questioning God, and God said, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy? God Himself portrays the creation of the world as taking place against a backdrop of song and music. Now, it's been taught for a long time that music was not merely the backdrop of creation, but it was the catalyst of creation. Every planet and every atom vibrates. Cosmologists believe that all matter is the result of sound, not just sound, but harmonic sound. Oh yeah. That's a good little education, a little edumacation. Harmonic sound. Scientists have called the sounds of the stars, which they believe created the stars, cosmic background radiation. Psalms 148, 3 and 5 says this, praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all the stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. Psalms 19 and 1, for the choir director, a psalm of David. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the works of His hands. 1 Chronicles 16:32, let the sea and everything in it shout His praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out in joy. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. And then, of course, Luke 19. When Jesus said, if you don't praise me, immediately the rocks would cry out and praise me. So I'm not trying to I'm not trying to give you, Lord, he's saying, no, I don't know. I'm giving you another scenario. Don't go out here, well, he's preaching some strange doctrine about creation. No, I'm not. I wasn't there. I don't know. But I do know this. It was taught historically that in the beginning was not so much as the word as the hum. And the Holy Spirit hovered over the deep. Home. If you look that word up, it means to hover, to hum. Home. I don't know how God sings. I just know how He calls us to sing. But see, here's the thing. In the darkness, something was happening. A voice began to sing. My God, somebody hear me. In the chaos of nothingness, God began to bring order by singing. My God. There's something happens to you when you begin to sing the songs of Zion. I'm telling you, church, that I don't know if creation was formed by music, but I do know that music has both creative and redemptive qualities. That is the point. That music has the ability to move us. Because it conjures up either our past or it gets us ready for our future. Nehemiah 8 tells us that joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy equals strength. Have you ever noticed that the sad don't sing? And if they do, it's country songs. Well, there's a tear in my beer. Achy breaky heart. But you notice that you can't sing the songs of Zion and stay depressed. The one who have lost their song also loses their strength. You get church people. You get any kind of church people that are depressed and say, come on, let's worship the Lord. They don't want to. They don't want to sing. It's the last thing you want to do, sing. Last thing you want to do, come to the house of God. I don't want to come to the house of God and put on my smile and look at everybody and everybody ask me, everything all right? And me got to lie. Oh, yeah, everything's wonderful. Right? Why? Because the devil wants you to lose your song. He wants your music to die. The depressed can't take new land. The depressed can't barely take a step, much less take land. Music has the ability to create an atmosphere, to change a mood, to change a life. Now listen, with the right song, you can forget everything, can't you? Give me the beat, boy, to free my soul. I want to get lost in the rock and roll and drift away. Ooh. Yeah. So I changed the lyrics on that. Give me the beat. Give me the praise, Lord, that frees my soul. I want to get lost in the Holy Ghost and just drift away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll give you the praise, Lord, that frees my soul. I want to get lost in the Holy Ghost and just drift away. Yeah. See, I mean, man, it has the ability. It has the ability. Sitting on the dock of the bay. I mean, it has ability. With the right song. How many, when an old song comes on, you remember? Remember that old girlfriend? When that song comes on, you remember that car? Oh, yeah. That you thought was tight. But it was a piece of junk that you wouldn't dare drive today. Right? But with the right song, you can also forget everything, but you can also remember everything. There are times that we need to praise until the presence of God comes. Now, I know churches who take it overboard. And I'm not saying that we got it all together, but I know the churches, you know, I was at a church service one time. They did praise and worship for an hour and a half. And then they still gonna let the preacher get up. And they kept going, oh, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit. And they kept singing and singing. And I just finally had to sit down after an hour and a half. I'm not exaggerating, an hour and a half. And I finally sat down and go, Holy Spirit, would you just please come? Because I am like wore out. Please, please just show up. Amen. I'm just being real, right? I mean, they didn't warn me I was going to a praise concert. I mean, if I'm going to a praise service, I know it ain't going to be no preaching. We're just going to get our praise on. I'm okay with that. But I'm coming for the word. I'm ready for the word. And they took an hour and a half. And then the preacher got up and preached another hour and a half. And it wasn't a black church either. You know what I'm talking about, Cliff. You know, they always say, oh, that must be a black church. That ain't no black church. That's a white church. That's a white church trying to be a black church. I don't know. I was like, y'all killing me up in here. But they didn't take up four offerings, though. I knew there wasn't no black church. Anyway, don't be offended. The old-time Pentecost had a practice they called the praise cure. You praised until you started feeling better. Now, today we have what we call praise breaks. You just take a break from everything and just praise Him. Just take a break from things and praise God. A crazy praise, a praise that don't make any sense. Church, Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine because that ruins your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making a melody in your heart unto the Lord. He is suggesting that the people who seek what they seek in drinking and relaxing, escape from the unendurable, you can find it if you get lost in the presence of God. The spirit-filled, spirit-led person will find a song in his heart. The Holy Spirit, church, will be singing within, and some of this symphony of the soul will come out through your lips. Never let the music die. Not even for a day in your life. Never let the music die. Musicians, come on, help me. There's a song that I've been threatening to sing. And I've had requests, but I'm going to do it anyway. Some of y'all get that request that I didn't do it. Arthur, where are you at in the building? There's a song that I'm going to try to do, but it goes like this. I've lost some good friends along life's way. Some loved ones departed in heaven to stay. But thank God I didn't lose everything in the key of sin. I lost faith in people who said they care. In times of my crisis, they were never there. But in my disappointment, in the season of pain, one thing never wavered. I never lost my joy. I never lost my faith. Most of all, I never lost my praise. I let some blessings slip away when I lost my focus and went astray. But thank God I didn't lose everything. I lost some possessions that was so dear. I lost some battles walking in fear. But in the midst of my struggle, in the season of pain, one thing never wavered, one thing never changed. I never lost my
I never lost my faith. Most of all, I never lost my praise. I never lost my lost my faith. Most of all, I never lost my praise.
Come on, one more time, help me.
I never lost my hope. I never lost my joy. I never lost my faith. Most of all, I never lost my praise.
Come on, stand to your feet this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.